This is an I Am Listening original podcast.
Lyndon has presided over some chaos over the last few weeks. Let's be really clear on that. And that's regrettable for the people of Kent.
I don't think that's a fair... That is not a fair analogy at all, Vince. Absolutely not. I will not have you saying that in this interview because you're trying to divert from the fact that you came up with a plan for local government reorganisation. You didn't show it to anyone in advance. You literally unveiled it at the last minute at that meeting on the 13th of August. Everyone was just, you know, gobsmacked that you could come up with something so crazy that cuts across boundaries and parish boundaries. You've never fully explained that. I would say if anyone's chaotic, it is you.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast.
In this week's episode, we welcome two of the most important people in local government in Kent, KCC leader Lyndon Kemp-Caron and Medway Council Chief Vince Maple. They're going head-to-head to discuss major issues affecting the county, plus addressing recent problems and controversies. We also hear about controversial plans for a 140-kilometre undersea cable to transport renewable energy between Kent and Suffolk, and talk about fears that Tipsett libraries will be shutting as reform tries to balance the books. I'm Simon Finley, the local democracy reporter covering Kent County Council, and I'm joined by Robert Boddy, who reports on Medway.
Hello.
And Dan Essen, who covers the borough and district councils.
Hello.
And Nikki White, who has been having a look at Westminster.
Hello.
First up, Rob, what have you been looking at?
So there was a bumper full council in Medway, which saw the authority agree to put forward its own four council approach for local government reorganisation, approve £44 million for the building and operating of a council-run care home, and make changes to the number of motions which one councillor said he would challenge in the High Court. To start with the care home, the 80-bed facility is for the southern site of Innovation Park Medway, which was supposed to be a business park but failed to attract interest from possible tenants. After being put on hiatus to re-evaluate the scheme, it was decided that the southern section of the site near to Rochester Airport would change into being a council-run care home with 40 beds for residential dementia care and 40 for short-term support so people can transition from being in hospital to returning home. The funding was approved, though the Tory opposition said the authority couldn't afford the borrowing, and previously Deputy Leader Theresa Murray said she wanted work to begin as soon as possible.
So tell us about the motion change.
So Medway Council's administration sought to reduce the length of its full council meetings, which often run close to midnight, by reducing the number of motions per meeting to three motions. The previous system was that each political group were allowed one motion per full council, meaning a possible five motions. The rule change not only limits the amount, but gives those groups which have a larger number of councillors a greater proportion of the motions. So previously, the independent group, Reform UK, and independent councillor Chris Spalding, a total of nine councillors, were entitled to 12 motions of the maximum 20 in a year. Under the new rules approved by Labour, 31 councillors, they'll get half of the total motions per year. Conservatives, which are 19 councillors, will get four. The remaining two motions will be open to application by the remaining groups.
I can imagine this wasn't particularly popular change with the smaller parties.
That's right. They all said the move was anti-democratic and was aimed at silencing them. Reform UK's councillor Robbie Lammas said before he had defected from the Conservatives, he attended a meeting discussing the plans where it was stated that the intention was to clip Reform's wings, his quote. However, Tory leader George Perfect said this wasn't true and councillor Lammas knew that. The independent group said they believe the change was a response to a motion they had put forward earlier this year about preventing housing on Chatham Docks, which they said had embarrassed the Labour group and said they were now being punished. Labour denied this and maintained the change was purely to make meetings run more smoothly and give more time to focus on the substantive issues of the agendas.
Okay, thanks, Rob. What have you been looking at then, Dan?
So I've actually been setting my heights a little bit higher than local government this week and tuning into the government's planning inspectorate. It's not quite the TV event of the year, but they have held some hearings in Sandwich last week on the National Grid Sea Link project, which is basically plans for about 140 kilometres of undersea cable to transport renewable energy between Kent and Suffolk, for which a development consent order request was submitted earlier this year.
But are the locals happy?
No, it won't surprise you to hear that it's not too popular among people in the area in Thanet. So the project's going to involve a pretty massive converter station being built in the Minster Marshes and a cable infrastructure leading to the point at which it goes under the sea just off Pegwell Bay near Ramsgate. That whole affair basically sparked the creation of the Save Minster Marshes campaign, who pretty much say it will, you know, ravage an ecologically important area. And they also say that given it's marshland, the development will be unsound anyway. So Sir Roger Gale, the MP for Herne Bay and Sandwich, attended the hearing to say pretty much just this, arguing that it will end up sinking into a hole in the ground, becoming unusable and, quote, a monument to human folly.
Hmm. guessing these hearings aren't the final word then.
No, of course not. The National Grid Projections say that if all goes to plan, they hope to get the development consent order from the government in late 2026. And that if approved, they'll be building it all the way until 2031. Whether it actually gets approved at all and runs to a timetable of any sort remains to be seen.
So, Simon, what's been on your radar?
Well, the issue of library and tip closures is back in the news following the most recent policy and resources meeting at Kent County Council. Many people will remember that there was an enormous hoo-ha a couple of years ago over the proposed closure of our four household waste recycling centres by the Conservatives when they were in power at County Hall. I mean, tips are a bit like public toilets. Most people rarely use them, but if the local council proposes to shut them, then to save money, then all hell breaks loose. But it became apparent very quickly that people are actually very fond of their local tip. But now it appears that the new reform administration at Kent County Council has done a bit of a reverse ferret on the matter. And back in July, the guy who runs the environment portfolio, which looks after tips, a guy called David Wimble said, and I quote, "Will there still be the same number of HWRCs in 5 years' time? To the best of my ability to answer that, subject to an act of God, I am of the opinion that yes, we are keeping them all open." So there you have it in black and white. But now that the harsh financial realities are starting to hit home at KCC, Mr. Wimble's boss, Brian Collins, who's also in charge of finance, had this to say about the closure of tips and libraries. He said, "Every financial aspect of the council is being looked at. Tips are being looked at. There are developments at the moment, future and present, that are being looked at. In terms of libraries, it is an issue the last administration kicked down the road and left us to deal with. We're looking at libraries at the moment, but no decision has been made." This rather suggests that it might have been made already, but time will probably tell. I mean, reform's biggest headache is that they've got to set a balanced budget without losing services that people enjoy or are fond of, like tips, or even if they rarely use them. But Mr. Collins and his leader, Lyndon Kempkaran, who, you know, we're going to hear from in a little while, are now staring the reality of running a massive local authority in the face, knowing that the adult social care bill is likely to cost way more than it did last time, and KCC is going to have to find many millions of pounds, perhaps tens of million pounds from somewhere. So we'll have to see how that all pans out. Right, Nikki, what has caught your eye this week?
We're back with immigration again. Earlier this week, the Home Office set out a major new policy package aimed at restoring control of our borders and bringing some sort of order to the UK's asylum system. Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood has announced sweeping changes designed to reduce the UK's attractiveness to asylum seekers and bolster the process for removing people who have no right to be in our country. Now, among the plans, refugee status will become temporary with regular reviews every 30 months, and the government will no longer have a legal duty to provide asylum seeker support. So that means housing and weekly allowances for asylum seekers will not be guaranteed, and eligibility for indefinite leave will only happen now after 20 years.
That must have divided opinion.
Yeah, it has. I mean, writing for Kent Online, Dover and Deal MP Mike Tapp has said that for many in his constituency, where the impact of the small boat crossings is felt more directly than almost anywhere else in the country, these reforms will come as welcome news. He said that since 2021, the UK has seen more than 400,000 asylum claims. That's double the figure from a decade ago. And as that surge has stretched public services, it's placed an unfair burden on coastal communities such as his. He said when he spoke with residents across Dover and Deal, he heard the same message. People want a system that is compassionate, but they want a system that is firm, orderly and fair. Mm-hmm. He feels the government's changes move us closer to that balance. Now, also proposals are coming in that the right to join relatives who are already here, that will become more limited, which Mike says that's been designed to reduce the pull factors that have encouraged people to attempt these dangerous crossings in the past. And the legal duty to accommodate destitute applicants is being removed, giving the government discretion over who receives housing and financial help and who doesn't, which he says will also protect taxpayers while ensuring resources actually goes to those who genuinely need it. Now, there's going to be a tougher stance on illegal working as well, which should mean less exploitation, which must mean good news. And the appeals process is getting an overhaul too, with incentives for people to return to their home country voluntarily, but there will also be stronger powers to enforce removal when necessary. Now, Mike says these reforms are ambitious and will require real grip, but he says for the first time in years, we're seeing a plan with the clarity and determination needed to fix what has long been broken.
Yeah, but not everybody's in favour.
No, they're not. And Folkestone and Hythe's Labour MP, Tony Vaughan, he's a former immigration lawyer. And he said he felt we've taken the wrong turning. He said the idea that recognised refugees need to be deported is wrong. He added that we absolutely need immigration controls, and where those controls decide to grant asylum, we should welcome and integrate people, not create perpetual limbo and alienation. He's added that the rhetoric around these reforms encourages the same culture of divisiveness that sees racism and abuse growing in our communities.
Okay, thank you, Nikki.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics Podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
In a first for the Kent Politics Podcast, we have two guests with us today, arguably two of the most prominent figures in local government in Kent, Lyndon Kemkaran, Reform UK leader of Kent County Council, and Labour's Vince Mabel, who leads Medway Council. Both leaders face huge challenges with local government reorganisation, and both are facing massive hurdles over getting a balanced budget. So they might have more in common than you might think. Welcome, both of you.
Hi there.
Hi, Simon.
Turning to you, Lyndon, first. You swept into County Hall in May, and you promised to be a wind of change, but judging by the headlines from the past month, it appears you've presided over, well, chaos lately. I mean, hell broke loose when that now infamous Suck It Up video appeared of you shouting and swearing at your members. Of the 57 councillors you returned in May, 7 have been expelled, one has defected and the other's waiting criminal proceedings. It's not a great start, is it?
Well, it's not unique to Kent. I mean, anyone that says this is only happening in Kent County Council, quite frankly, needs to get out of their bubble and look at the real world. I am deadly serious about this job. I was elected to do a very, very big job here in Kent County Council. Heated exchanges are normal behind the scenes, but I'll tell you what is not normal is the mess that I've inherited from the Conservatives, over £750 million worth of debt. I have a massive, serious challenge on my hands. This is a good job that Reform got voted in when we did, because I can tell you now, if we had not come into this council and effectively put the brakes on the runaway train, Kent County Council would be heading very quickly towards bankruptcy. But already, Reform has saved £40 million, and there are more savings laid out in our long-term budget plan. So the voters who very sensibly voted for Reform can be very confident that they made exactly the right choice at the right time.
Do you in any way regret using the words effing suck it up?
I don't regret anything. I think the only people who should have regrets are the ones that breached not only my trust by leaking that video of a private meeting, but they breached the trust of all the members and all the people who voted for them in Kent. And let's face it, I might have said that in a private meeting. The Home Secretary used the F word in the Commons just the other day. Now that, to me, is a far more serious use of that word in a very, very, very public atmosphere. Where's the condemnation for that?
Well, she was meant to apologise in the House, actually, but that's... there have been some, during the time of the expulsions, that sort of couple of weeks where there was, other suspensions or expulsions almost happening daily. You were accused of being a bit of a dictator. I mean, how do you counter that charge?
Look, I run this council quite like I run my family and my own household, with affection for my members, but I am stern, I am sound, and I'm serious. And look, if you want to look at sacking troublemakers, yes, I am not afraid to get rid of people who are not trustworthy, are not up to the job, or simply don't deserve to be part of my team. Let's have a look at Medway Council for a moment. They sack their troublemakers, but then they invite them back. There are two Labour councillors that were suspended from Medway Council following an alleged incident in 2023. The details, unlike Reform, the details have remained hidden from the public. Why is that? Since then, Reform have taken two Labour seats in by-election in Vince Maple's backyard. Vince was in danger of losing his majority to Reform, so he brought back his disgraced councillors to prop up his tiny majority. Now, that, to me, is weak leadership. I think I've demonstrated very strong leadership from right from the beginning, and I will continue to do so.
OK, well, let Vince come back there.
Well, look, it's great that you've got both of us on together and people will compare and contrast. Let me say firstly, in 18 years as a councillor, I've never sworn once in a group meeting. I think that's incredibly inappropriate, unprofessional, and as we were saying, the Labour Party, uncomradely. So people will take a judgment whether even in a private meeting, whether that's appropriate or not. Regarding specifically the quote of Shabana Mahmood, of course, she was quoting specifically something that was said to her by clearly someone who was acting in a racist way.
So that makes it okay, doesn't it? That makes it okay to say the F word in a public sphere like the House of Commons, where anyone could be listening, like children. That makes it okay, doesn't it?
I think just one at a time. Just try one to speak one at a time, please.
You're doing a very good job, Simon, keeping us in good order. Of course, this is quoting what was said to her. I wish a member of the public had never said that to her. And I'm sure you don't as well, Lyndon. Maybe you do. You can clarify that.
I've had it said to me in my childhood as a brown child in a very white area in Kent. I've had it. I would not repeat that language in a public chamber like the House of Commons.
Well, I regret that Shabana had to put up with that and you had to put up with that.
Thank
no
you.
One should have to put up with that in just living their life. As regards, as is well documented, as regards our situation in Medway, we went through an internal process. That internal process was concluded and we welcomed back. It's the same as you've had an internal process and you've sacked your councillors. We went through a process and the ultimate decision was not to do that. That's an internal process and it's Labour Party rule book to not talk about internal processes. Nobody leaked our internal processes to a national newspaper. I understand, of course, that happened with your team, Lyndon.
Yes. Yeah, sorry, Simon. I was waiting for you to come in there with another question for me.
You know, Lyndon, this must be, the whole suck it up git is now entering its fifth week. Do you think you've put a line under it or do you think that there's more to come?
I think the T-shirts I've had printed are selling like hotcakes, I can tell you that much. I've had people coming
up. Is that the one that says on the front, Lyndon says, on the back says, suck it up?
Yes, it absolutely is. Would you like one? I can pop one in the post for you, Simon. I'm sure it would look lovely on you. It's a really nice colour turquoise.
Just going back to the last sort of 4.5 weeks, I mean, that must have been pretty tough for you.
Yes, of course.
In what way was it tough?
Well, I'm sure you can imagine. You know, it's never nice knowing that members of your team can't be trusted. I think what we've seen is quite a shocking display of selfishness and people putting themselves and their own ambitions before what is actually good for the people of Kent. That is the most upsetting thing. When you get elected on a ticket of Reform UK, that is an absolute honour and a privilege. And it is an absolute, it is a huge honour to be an elected representative. It is always disappointing when people put their own ambition and their own selfish needs before what is best for the people we're here to represent.
And you're absolutely sure that all remaining 48 councillors that you've got are 100% loyal and are going to behave themselves?
Unless you're going to tell me otherwise, yes, I am.
OK, right. Well, then we'll move on. Vince, look, you must be terrified of Reform UK. Ipsos, the latest poll on Monday, has your party 15 points adrift from Reform this week. They're predicted to take every parliamentary seat in Medway. The council you lead may be millions of pounds adrift ahead of the budget. I mean, this is a disaster zone, isn't it?
Well, of course, we're in our electoral cycle and the next elections that would be due to happen in Medway will be 2027. As I'm sure we'll talk about, local government reorganisation is currently being considered and we've seen elsewhere in the country often, and we're seeing it, I think, this coming May as well, likely to be where new councils are being formed, that the local electorate will vote on the new council and you'll have a shadow council for a year to take up that post. So whether we have another council election for Medway, we will see. But there'll be an election in 2027. I'm confident of that. So to use a very well-worn phrase, a week is a very long time in politics. I think looking at the national situation, look, I absolutely accept, and I've said this elsewhere, central government has to get better at communicating the good news stories. There are lots of good news stories coming every single day. We've got to get better at communicating that. I'm clear on that. And absolutely, I recognise that, when you're early on in your administration, you have to take some difficult choices. We'll see, I'm sure, difficult choices by both upper tier authorities across the region of Kent, because frankly, we had year on year on year cuts from the Conservatives to local government finance.
Do you think that Sir Keir Starmer is toast?
No, absolutely not. I'm sat here in my office in Gun Wharf. I can see the pier that I stood on with him when we had that historic victory here in Medway, taking control of this council for the first time in more than 20 years. And he declared there that he would form a majority government. And he's done just that. But as I say, he's got a 5-year term, and we need to be ensuring that we get that good positive messaging coming out. Of course, we've got the budget nationally coming up in just over a week's time. So from that perspective,
yes, and Vince, let's face it, you know, you're going to fall even further in the polls when that comes out.
Well, who knows? I don't know what's going to be in that budget. Time will tell. We'll see what happens. But certainly, you know, I've got faith in Rachel Reeves as well to deliver the best possible budget.
Okay, Vince, you know, in that famous, perhaps infamous Suck It Up video, Lyndon suggested that the leaders of the other Kent councils didn't like her because she's a woman. You took a real exception to that, didn't you? Can you explain why?
Yeah, in really simple terms, and, you know, I'll use the modern phrase woke, previously politically correct. I'm one of the most politically correct people I know. But aside that, I think I'm quite a nice human being. I treat most people with respect, even if I don't agree with them. So to have the and again, I accept entirely this was said amongst friends privately, but again, one of those friends has chosen to make it public. The potential accusation of me being a misogynist is ludicrous. And I was hopeful that Lyndon has responded to my letter. There was a letter to all of us and then a letter specifically to me. In both those letters, this issue wasn't addressed. So perhaps today Lyndon could take that opportunity. I think, you know, Lyndon will take a judgment on me as I will of her. I think actually we work cordially. We don't agree on everything. That's the nature of politics. But I don't think at any point I've been particularly rude to Lyndon. I've treated her in a different way than I would treat any other leader. So I'm hopeful that by the end of this interview, that point can be clarified.
If I did say that, and to be honest, that was so long ago, I can barely remember even what was said. And I think the fact you want to keep dwelling on a video of a private meeting that was leaked for nefarious reasons to the Guardian of all the ghastly publications, I think this is a waste of time, really. Do you want to ask me any sensible questions about all the millions of pounds that I've saved at Kent County Council? And do you want to ask Vince how much he saved this year, maybe? Because I think maybe that's what the audience would like to hear more of.
So you're not going to apologise in any way to Vince over the remarks you made about the other Kent leaders?
I've got nothing to apologise for. Nothing was said in that video that I haven't said to anyone's faces. And I think for Vince to describe himself one of the most woke people that he knows, that's not really a badge of honour nowadays, I don't think. I think you need to get with the programme.
Lyndon, you've never said to me in private or in public these think I'm a misogynist. Hold on.
Do not use that word misogynist as a throwaway comment. Calling someone a misogynist is a very, very serious accusation. I have never used that word and I never use it. You're confusing sexism with misogyny. Now, sexism is what we used to call it when a woman was treated differently because of her sex. Misogyny is a completely different ballgame. I've never used that word. Just for the record.
Well, that's what was reported in The Guardian.
Well, so if you believe what you read in The Guardian, Vince, then more fool you. I suggest you widen your reading material.
I'm very happy with the publications I take.
I'm
Thank
sure you,
you
are.
Lyndon.
Okay. Lyndon, the Labour Home Secretary, Shabana Mahmood, introduced some pretty hard hitting reforms to the asylum system this week. That must have been music to your ears.
Well, yes and no. I mean, hard hitting, yes. Reform policy, yes. I mean, I think what's happening is Labour's realising that the country is in a terrible state. Under Labour, we've seen the influx of illegal migrants, you know, these people who invade our shores daily. The numbers are going in one direction, and that is up. Labour scrapped the Rwanda plan, you know. Tiny though the Rwanda plan was, at least it was a plan. They came into office and scrapped it, thus removing any kind of deterrent that did exist to stop these people coming over in the small boats. I think Labour is panicking. They're heading towards a cliff edge. The budget, I'm glad Vince thinks the budget is going to be marvellous. He must be the only living person that does. I think Labour is heading for an absolute car crash. Keir Starmer will not be Prime Minister for much longer. He is going to either have to step down or he's going to be toppled. I mean, Labour's in an absolute pickle. And I think Shabana Mahmood is actually one of the rare Labour politicians who can see the wood for the trees. And yes, I welcomed what she was trying to do. She'll never get it past her backbenchers. So it's not going to go anywhere, really, is it, this plan? She's going to pay lip service to the fact that she knows that she has to somehow try and stop these people from coming across in the small boats. She has to get a handle on illegal migration, and then she has to tackle legal migration. Because, of course, the figures, you know, the population's gone up by some 10 million in a very, very short space of time. That is why we have a housing crisis. That is why our public services are creaking under the strain. That is why the black economy is flourishing. You know, it's wrecking our country. I mean, that is why I became involved in politics, because I could see that the Uni Party, that Labour and the Tories didn't have a clue. They're not prepared to say the difficult things. They're not prepared to have the difficult conversations and make difficult decisions, because they're too afraid of what publications like The Guardian will say about them. And I think in Reform, we are courageous, we are brave, we are prepared to say the uncomfortable things and make the difficult decisions. And that is why people vote for us at every single opportunity. And that is why Vince Maple knows that his days are numbered in politics.
Okay, Vince, I mean, a lot of MPs on the backbenches were less than pleased with that speech from Shabana Mahmood, both from a humanitarian perspective, but also for the possible political damage it might do as well. You know, what are your feelings about sending people back to their home countries? You know, people maybe who've been here for many years, the whole business maybe taking jewelries or valuables from them when they arrive. I mean, does that not, that surely can't sit very well with a person like you?
Well, I'd say two or three things on this. Firstly, look, I think I've been out campaigning with Shabana in Medway. She's been down here. People enjoyed speaking to her on the doorsteps in Rochester. So she's a competent politician. She's a great Home Secretary. She's got my support. I think this is a real challenge. There's a real challenge on this, because on the one hand, undoubtedly, this is a conversation which is happening on many doorsteps. Not as many as you may think. Certainly the doorsteps I talk to here in Medway, when I'm knocking across the community, people actually want to, in more cases, talk about things like the cost of living and lots of the things that are under the control of the council. So there is definitely an appetite for this conversation. I'm not sure necessarily everything that's been reported has been said as part of government policy. That's worth saying. And I think as well, from my perspective, it is about recognising that there is a process to be gone through here. So absolutely, it's about international working to smash the people trafficking gangs. No politician wants to see people coming across in small boats. Not a single politician wants to do that. But it is a challenge. The Rwanda plan simply didn't work. So from that perspective, that's taxpayers' money wasted. And it is about making sure that you have systems which are fit for purpose for 2025 and beyond. By the nature of legislation, I'm sure it will be nuanced as we go through the legislative process.
Okay, but Vince, I mean, you're slightly swerving the question, if you don't mind me saying so. I mean, I asked about your personal feelings. I mean, does some of that stuff feel right to you? I mean, maybe, you know, extending the indefinite right to remain to 20 years and, you know, sending people back who may have become settled here after a relatively short time or even a long time back to places where they don't want to go back to. I mean, does that not feel a little bit odd to you as a left-wing member of the Labour Party?
Look, I think it's about trying to find a workable solution to the problem. People coming over in small boats is a problem. As I say, nobody wants to have that. That is around trying to make sure that we've got systems that are fit for purpose. Of course, part of the reason this has become a bigger issue is because, again, the Conservatives in government left such a huge mess. It was the Conservative government that ended up using things like hotels, which absolutely I recognise have been the trigger for some really divisive community activity, not necessarily here in Kent, I have to say particularly, but certainly in other parts of the country. So we do need to try and find a solution. And by the nature of the legislative process, that's why governments have scrutiny to these processes as we go forward to make the legislation.
In about a week's time, the submissions will be made to the government with the different visions of how the new council system will look after all 14 councils in Kent abolish themselves effectively. Medway wants four councils. Kent County Council wants to have one large authority with three smaller sort of assemblies underneath. Lyndon, you've got virtually no chance of getting yours through.
Well, I mean, if you look at all the stats that back up Kent County Council's option 1A, only a fool would vote for another option, because our option 1A is the least expensive to implement. It is the least disruptive to our core services like adult social care, children's social care, highways, all the rest of it. And it is the only one that will actually save £69 million per year and take 3 years to pay off the initial debt. Now, you know, Medway's plan is just bonkers. Vince Maples put forward this bonkers plan, which sort of cuts across parish boundaries. It makes, changes all the existing Medway boundaries. Now, why? Why does he want to do that? I compare it to all the other options as well. And option 1A is above and beyond the most sensible, the most economical, the only one that will not involve everyone's council tax going up and up and up to pay for the massive cost that's not been disclosed by government of this local government reorganisation. I mean, it's just a nonsense. I'm no fan of it. I've said that from day one.
But interestingly enough, actually, and this is something I've reported on a couple of times, is the County Council's network, which basically provided the information upon which the government based its sort of the model for producing the local government reorganisation. They basically sort of said, if you have these multi-unitary authority counties, they'll basically cost nearly £1 billion. I mean, so actually, but the only model that works is where you have a single unitary authority taking over a county. So,
well, precisely, and that is exactly why we've come up with option 1A, because I could see from day one that the idea of carving up a county like Kent. I mean, we have, you know, unique features here in this beautiful county of ours. We're a border county, you know, we're the gateway to the continent and from the continent to the rest of the UK. We're very varied geographically. We're highly populated. We have areas of extreme wealth and areas of extreme poverty at the moment. It works well under Kent County Council because all the wealth effectively goes into a pot and is equally distributed. That will all change if something bonkers like the Medway plan or any of the other bonkers plans get voted through.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing's a nonsense. I think it's going to cost millions and millions of pounds to implement. Where is that money going to come from? And then you've got to divide up all the debts that are currently held by all the district and borough councils. I mean, Medway's debt alone is unbelievably high. You know, the debt per head in Medway, it rivals that of many other councils around the country. It's been extraordinarily badly managed in the last few years. So that will all have to be divided up. I mean, how on earth is that going to be worked out? The whole thing is an absolute nonsense. And quite honestly, right now, with the country on the brink of bankruptcy, Kent County Council would have been on the brink of bankruptcy if reform hadn't got in when we did and applied the brakes to the speeding train that the Tories left us. It is really not what Kent needs right now, and it's certainly not what the country needs right now. It is rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, I'm afraid.
Vince, do you want to respond to that?
I absolutely do. And look, Lyndon has presided over some chaos over the last few weeks. Let's be really clear on that. And that's regrettable for the people of Kent.
I don't think that is not a fair analogy at all, Vince. Absolutely not. I will not have you saying that in this interview, because you're trying to divert from the fact that you came up with a plan for local government reorganisation. You didn't show it to anyone in advance. You literally unveiled it at the last minute at that meeting on the 13th of August. Everyone was just, you know, gobsmacked that you could come up with something so crazy that cuts across boundaries and parish boundaries. You've never fully explained that. I would say if anyone's chaotic, it is you.
Let's see. I say, from my perspective, the only reason I've ever had cabinet members leaving my cabinet is because they've become MPs. So let's just be clear on that.
What about Councillor Stephen Hubbard and Councillor Satinder Shokar? Why did they have to leave your group? And then why were they brought back? I'd like to enlighten us.
they had an internal process. That internal process has concluded.
Well, aren't you lucky to be able to conduct all that behind closed doors without national press becoming overly involved? I envy you.
I'm very lucky. I've got a political party that has a rule book which has clearly been followed.
Oh, well, maybe you could pass that advice up the chain to Westminster.
Because I'd be happy to send that to.
If anyone is chaotic, it is the Labour Party right now. Everyone can see it.
I'm sorry you feel that so strongly about the Labour Party when obviously people will take a judgment on the last few weeks. Simon, to answer your really important question, because in one sense, this is what most people listening to this podcast will absolutely have an interest in. So look, there are five options on the table. Four of them, in my view, are compliant with the government's requirements. The one that isn't compliant with the government's requirements is the one that has been brought forward by Kent County Council. Ultimately, it will be a decision for the Secretary of State. I'd encourage all listeners to play their part in the consultation when it comes next year. I'm really clear. Our model, 4D, is a bold new vision for Kent reimagined. Local government for the next generation, ultimately, to improve lives. That's what we've brought forward. And it will be interesting to see how many councils out of the 14 support 1A, how many support 4D, and how many support the other options. We'll find out when we get to the 28th of November.
Okay. Listen, thank you both very much indeed for joining the Kent Politics podcast today.
Been a pleasure.
Thanks very much, Simon.
Okay, my word. Dan, Rob and Matt, you guys were listening into that frank exchange of views. Dan, what did you make of it?
So there's a quote from, apparently when discussing the Iran-Iraq war in the 1980s, Henry Kissinger once said, it's a pity both sides can't lose, but both sides clearly can lose from a fight. I don't think anyone came out particularly well of that. Vince Maple, I think, clearly held his temper slightly better, though both of them obviously, I don't think, have any particularly warm feelings for each other. I felt like Councillor Kim Caron was much more firm on the direct attacks against Vince Maple, but he himself was obviously, I think, quite uncomfortable with defending his own record and the record of his own party. Mm. You know, he avoided giving any clear position on the single biggest story of the week, which is a set of very strict immigration reforms, which I would assume he's probably very uncomfortable with, but won't publicly say.
No, he definitely swerved that as best he could.
Yeah.
And obviously that's pretty fertile territory for Reform UK, and obviously they've been very clear on their stance on that.
Yeah, and you know, Linda Kem Caron also made quite a big deal out of criticising Medway's preferred local government reorganisation plan, which is obviously much more local, much more topical. Fair enough thing to use as an attack, I suppose, but I think once again that's not really a victory for anyone involved, because both of their preferred options are going to be disregarded. Mm-hmm. And the government is, and probably should have just from the start, told them exactly what Kent is going to look like and not given the opportunity to come up with these alternative plans and then shout at each other.
Well, but yeah, there was an element of public consultation in that, and there will be an element of public consultation in it when the government decides which options to put forward. But yeah, I would hesitate to say that most people know what local government reorganisation actually means.
It's not a vote winner. Neither of them was elected on a platform of saying they'll make the county look like this or that. Mm. Though at least, you know, it's a substantive issue they can get their teeth into, but ultimately not a very productive disagreement.
Yeah. Rob?
Well, I think the thing that I've found most interesting was sort of as you said in your introduction, which is both of these councils, Kent County Council and Medway,
they've actually
Council,
got quite a lot in common, haven't they?
Exactly. You know, they're both facing financial difficulties as lots of councils are, but they both also took over from
Conservatives
who had run those councils for a very, very long time. And I thought it was the fact that Lyndon went quite hard on Vince in terms of trying to suggest that Labour have sort of messed up Medway Council. Well, Medway Council, this are just coming up, the budget that they'll set in February will be their second budget following the initial one, which was set by the Conservatives. Reform are about to set their first ever budget themselves. So it's kind of that after you get past that first year where the budget has been set by someone else, it's a bit like training wheels off. And so, you know, there was when that happened with Labour, it was kind of a case of, okay, now you've got to stand on your own two feet. The decisions you make will make or break things. And Labour have faced a very difficult situation. They had to have exceptional financial support, which is borrowing from the government for 2 years. But now they're saying that for this budget coming up, their aim is to not need that anymore, which is quite a difficult challenge to face. They have to make quite some difficult cuts, I think, are coming down the track and raising revenues in different ways. Reform, I wouldn't go so hard on attacking another council that is in a similar situation, because I think very shortly they'll be in the same position. They'll have to be, you know, as you mentioned in your piece about possibly shutting tips, which is, if they do that, would be very unpopular. The decisions which they are going to have to make, you know, Reform will be in a similar situation, and the fact that they have criticised another council and said, oh, you're making a total mess of it, a lot of people will turn around and say, well, you've not done it particularly well either.
Matt, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I quite liked it. I was pleasantly surprised, because we always sit here and we talk about how boring and vanilla politicians are these days, how on message they are, and both of them had a go, and you certainly know where they stand. And the standout quote for me was from Lynn and Kim Kerrin, saying that she runs the council like she runs her family. So make of that what you will.
Okay, folks, that's your lot for this week. Thanks to Nikki, Dan, Robert and Matt for the contributions, and to our special guests this week, Lyndon Kemp-Karen and Vince Maple. Don't forget to keep an eye on Kent Online for the latest politics coverage. And you can also sign up to our politics briefing newsletter by visiting kentonline.co.uk/newsletters. And don't miss KMTV's politics show every Friday at 5 p.m. I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening original podcast. For more information, head over to our website, im-listening.co.uk.